Well, hello, everybody, and welcome. You have tuned in to episode number 533 of Linux in the Ham Shack. This is the Weekender Edition. It's the 113th Weekender. So we're glad you're here for us tonight. It is a new year. I did actually throw in some new topics on the random topic wheel. So hopefully we'll have something interesting, or if not interesting, at least hedonistic to talk about tonight. But before we get into finding out what topic we will be talking about tonight, let's go ahead and introduce ourselves. I'm Russ, K5TUX.
I'm Cheryl, W5MOO.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD.
And I kind of forgot to say, because I'm not looking at the Etherpad, that this is the most terrific amateur radio podcast on the internet. So there you go. But I think without further ado, we should just go ahead and click the little button and make the weird noises so we can find out what topic we're going to be talking about before we get into our hedonistic topics. Well, the first one could be hedonistic too. Could be hedonism all the way down. We're going to find out right now. Here we go. Skips in the wheel.
Yeah, totally legit.
Okay. Boring. No, just kidding. The topic it chose for tonight is making the most of ham radio conventions.
Besides sitting at the booth all day?
Well, yes. I honestly, I don't think that is making the most of a ham radio convention, quite frankly. So
that's what we normally do.
Well, of course, that's what we normally do because we have a booth, but we also do other things.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, Bill goes out on beer runs. There's bathroom breaks.
Well, that's
quick
true.
Shopping experiences.
We could turn this straight into a hedonism topic, you know, because pretty much if you're out looking for food or beverages, you know, that's definitely making the most of it.
Well, yeah.
You know, I know I don't make the most of ham radio conferences, specifically Hamvention I'm speaking of, because usually I spend maybe an hour looking around or just going out to buy some specific thing that I want. And otherwise, I'm just spending time in the booth talking with people who pass by and, you know, come by to see us. But Bill wanders around a little bit. So and there's also like talks and things, which one of these days I'd love to attend.
One day. Right. One day.
Yeah. One day. have you attended a talk at Hamvention?
Yes, I have been to a talk at Hamvention.
But not since you've been with us.
Yeah, not since I've been at the booth now.
Yeah.
that's what I've been. It's slightly time, yeah.
Yeah, so when you went as an attendee before the whole Linux in the Ham Shack involvement thing, how did you make the most of your time?
Well, I mean, if we're talking specifically Hamvention, you know, I did kind of check the schedule ahead of time, so I knew if there was a talk I wanted to see, I kind of planned the day sort of around that, and then I would ensure that I'm, you know, there on time for it, especially if it's like a first thing in the morning talk. You got to kind of make sure you're in line early. I know our friend there, Andy, at Andy's Linux, he had the very first spot in the morning on that, was it Friday or Saturday? And, you know, attendance can have a slight problem, you know, if you don't show up early for those early talks. So, just paying attention to the schedule and stuff like that was very important. And then making the way around to the various vendors, seeing what new products are out there. That was always an interest of mine. I was never really trying to find anything. I think when I went, I took my son, and like the only thing I really wanted to pick up was a microphone for my my Yeezy rig. And you know, I didn't need one. I really didn't need one. So I was like, you know, worst case will be the most expensive trip to go buy a microphone I don't really need. I just kind of just blew around the whole vendor thing, and then we did the outdoor flea market. We pretty much did all a Hamvention in a day. I mean, we pretty much covered everything. And then we kind of made notes for the second day to come back and say, okay, so I want to spend a little more time here kind of sifting through all this stuff. Or maybe there was that one vendor out in the flea market and stuff like that that had a lot of stuff that looked interesting, but I really wasn't interested in looking at with, you know, extended amount of time for at least the first day. And, yeah, so That's at least how I kind of planned it. So I used the first day to kind of blow through and see everything. And I think I caught one talk on the Friday. And Saturday I spent time just kind of going through and refining exactly what I wanted to go see. And then we only really spent like half a day at Hamvention. Then we spent the other half a day over at the museum. So I was a bad attendee, I guess.
Well, that's fair enough. Tom also mentioned planning out what talks you want to go to. And I know that matters for like Hamvention specifically because there will be multiple talks at a given time. Some of the smaller conventions won't be like that. There'll be sequential talks and you won't have to pick and choose. You could go to all of them. I suppose you still have to you know, figure out if you're going to be like in the exhibition or going to the swap meet or whatever, and then choosing which talks you want to actually see. But when they have like multiples at once, yeah, you're definitely going to have to plan that out, figure out which ones you want to be at.
Yeah, and I've been at the small Hamfest too, where it's like, you know, you could go around the exhibition hall and flea market in about 5 seconds. So you're pretty much just doing the tracks in the room. So like that's a little bit more interesting because you're like trying to figure out like, well, I don't really want to go home. So like what talk won't I sit here and be an angry old curmudgeon? So those are kind of eye opening too, because you spend a lot of time in talks listening to stuff that maybe you're not interested in, that maybe might actually spark some interest in the topic. So I find that kind of interesting too, as kind of like a, you know, you're sort of like a prisoner of the Hamfest.
So I like the first year maybe, or maybe the first 2 years of going to Hamvention, I think I wandered out into the Hera parking lot a little bit, like outside the North Hall, and checked out the flea market. But I've really not done any of the flea marketing stuff at the Ham. You know, the smaller ones I go to, it's all sort of Ham. It's all sort of flea market. You know, there may be like three vendors or something like that. So like the one I'm going to, like the Oars Hamfest I'm going to be doing on March 23rd. It's all flea market. Cause I think there's literally three vendors there and me, and I'm not a vendor per se. but I'm curious to see if the audience has any thoughts on which thing they find more valuable, if there is such a thing, or if they're equally valuable, the flea market, you know, the used equipment, talking with the hams and stuff like that, or the vendors. And in this case, I'm specifically talking about Hamvention because that's the one that's going to gather the most commercial vendors and whatnot. So do you have a thought about whether you enjoy or find more valuable the flea market or the vendors?
I mean, the conversation with the vendors is probably a bit more intriguing, especially if you're looking at a new product. The flea market's kind of like a flea market. So, you know, you may or may not have an interesting conversation about a certain piece of equipment. That's debatable. You know, it all depends on the seller. Seller's mood. And it's like, you know, trying to, oh, no, I don't have any way to test this. It worked fine the last time I powered it up, kind of thing. But
yeah, Tom says you can get insider info talking to vendors, but nothing top secret. Yeah, they will give out some stuff, but they don't give away the things except to the people who are already in the know anyway. Yeah, I was kind of curious about that. I mean, I know there's stuff that I want and that I would look for. There isn't a lot of it. And the I guess the biggest trouble for the flea market at something like Hamvention is because it's so large. If you're looking for a specific thing, it might take you a full day to try and find it, if it even exists. So you may be doing 8 hours of futility.
Yeah.
But it seems like, at least I've seen from a lot of attendees at Hamvention, it's like the goal is to get the Yaesu hat. <It's> like, you don't really care about much else. It's like, we'll go wander around, we'll talk to some people, we'll see a few things. And then when we score the Yaesu hat, then we can go home. So,
yeah, you got to get the Yaesu hat, the Kenwood button used to be, and then what did ICOM have? I don't know if ICOM gives any swag out. They do the summer swag thing now, where you got to sign up ahead of time and get in the list and you get a random drawing for the ICOM swag.
Yeah, there is something to be said, Tom, about the late bargain shopping at the Hamfest. You know, the people who brought in the separate piece boat anchor receiver transmitter combos, who don't want to lug that 90-pound thing back home. Yeah, if that's the kind of thing you're looking for, you can probably get away cheap. But I have not had that kind of luck. It seems like everybody's hanging on to their stuff and they've got a price in mind and, you know, quote unquote, they know what they've got. And I don't get those bargains. So
yeah, you know, there's an investment for them to come to big things like Hamvention and stuff like that. I know I bought lots of little knickknacks and stuff like that. You know, that's where I bought like my Keir and stuff, some other stuff from, and sold some stuff at like the smaller ham fest. Like, I've been to like the Tark Fest in Tampa, which is always a, you know, swap meet basically. And those are fine, you know, because normally you're trading with people that you already know in town and stuff like that, or you have a general idea, maybe you've even worked them or something like that on the repeater. So those are, you know, least more comfortable to buy stuff from. Sometimes the Hamvention ones are a bit you know, I don't know. I haven't bought too much stuff out there.
Yeah. Oh, and we can't forget the prizes, right? That's yeah. Especially for Hamvention, where the last year was what, a $9,000 like dream shack or something.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. So you gotta throw your few you know, raffle tickets in, see if you get stuff. Which of course I never do. You've actually won some stuff. So
yeah, I've won not from Hamvention though. I don't think I've ever won anything from Hamvention that I can recall.
Hamvention is really big, of course, and your odds go way down. So
yeah, I have won my Yaesu rig here, the FT450D. I did win at a Hamfest in Bozeman, so I have won that as a raffle item, and it was the grand prize. So yeah, it was a big surprise, but small attendance, so the odds were pretty good. And I have won I won the microphone I'm on right now through Tom Medlin's little giveaway thing that he was doing in the live stream. So I've won stuff on Tom's thing.
Yeah, I do know that this at the Oars Ham Fest, I know the attendance is light there. I'm expecting it to be quite light. But their prizes, they have three decent prizes. And interestingly enough, I'm probably going to throw 50 or 60 bucks at tickets because I think my odds will be, you know, fairly decent. And I actually want the middle prize because they have... The top prize is an FT991, and I don't need an FT991. I just bought a 710. But the middle prize is an FT891, and I would like a mobile HF rig. So, yeah. So
I'll take that 991.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a good deal on the 991 if I win it. So
that's sweet.
Or maybe yes. I'll just keep the 991 and sell the 710. I don't know.
Well, the 710's a better rig for HF for sure.
Yeah, no, I like the 710 a lot. But yeah, I would love to win that 891. That would be kind of nice. And one of the topics we have coming up on the random picker wheel, by the way, is mobile HF operation. I'm actually looking forward to that one because that one I'm hoping for like advice on stuff like that. So
sweet. Yeah, I want to get back into doing that again one day. So, I actually have to put the antenna on the vehicle the next time I go to Hamvention.
Yeah, and that's actually the thing I want to talk about the most when we get to that topic. But let's not get to that topic before we're at that topic. So I'm hearing planning out your day as far as like what you want to do, particularly talks, if there are talks you want to attend. Networking, of course, is big. You want to be able to talk to the vendors, talk to other hams, find out what's going on in the ham radio world and all that kind of thing. Making sure you get in on the, you know, at least throwing a few tickets at the prize, at the prize booth, see if you win anything good. As of a couple of years ago, I think it was, hanging around in, smoking a cigar with the clean crew. That's always good.
Yeah, that was fun.
And, you know, stopping by the Linux in the Ham Shack booth, I can highly recommend that.
What does Cheryl like about going to these conferences or like maybe even like a non-ham radio conference? Maybe a non-ham radio conference.
Well, it doesn't really matter about any conference. It's the aspect of learning new stuff, meeting people. You know, that's one thing I like about, you know, going to Hamvention is we get to meet tons and tons and tons of our listeners, but we also get to meet other people that aren't a listener that are intrigued. So we get to talk to them about what Linux in the Ham Shack is and, you know, tell them that Windows is not the greatest thing on earth, but Linux is probably a good thing for them to try.
Unless you're dealing with audio, right?
Well, yeah. Yeah, there's that whole audio thing. But anyway, You know, for me, my goal regarding shopping at Hamvention is Russ saying, go find me X. I usually go scope stuff out and then go, okay, I saw it at booth 437 and 691. Here are your prices. Do you want me to go get it? Do you not want me to go get it? You know, I take pictures, you know, and, you know, because he's too wrapped up in talking to people at the booth, which is fine. Yeah. You know?
Is there anything you would do at Hamvention for yourself?
Probably not, because, and this is purely my thought, even though there are a lot of people there that use scooters or electric wheelchairs or whatever, other people tend to be fairly rude when you're trying to look at stuff. I've had people literally step right in front of me when I was 2 foot from a table to talk to somebody, when I was waiting to talk to somebody. And I've encountered that multiple times. Sometimes I call people out on it. Sometimes whoever's in the booth will call them out and say, look, she was here first. And other times I'm like, all right, fine. I don't have time to mess with you. And I just go back to the booth. Other people are very courteous. But I would say, you know, if you had to kind of do a percentage, you've got probably 70% that are not courteous and 30% that are. And it kind of, it ruins the experience of the shopping aspect when, you know, people step in front of you when you're trying to look at stuff or whatever. So, but as for me to actually shop for something, no, because Russ buys all of the things I have. Yeah. Except I think I went and bought the Baofengs, didn't I? Or did you go buy them?
I think it was a combination. I think you bought some and I think I bought some. So, right. Yeah. So I don't necessarily want this to turn into a critique of Hamvention. We've done
that. No. But it's, but like, for instance, the Oars Hamfest are locally. You know, it's held in a school gymnasium, basically. It's tiny. It takes 2 seconds to go through the whole thing because it's 99.9% flea market stuff. With lots of boat anchors and things, which is, that's fine. People like that stuff. You do tend to, well, the last time I went with you, I haven't gone the last 2 years, I think. But I think I won about half of their door prizes. We came home with a box of stuff because they kept calling my name. But I ended up buying like 40 tickets. So I didn't win the big stuff, but I got the ARRL, like a handful of ARRL gift certificates and coffee mugs and all kinds of stuff. So yeah, it's, you know, the smaller the conference or whatever, you know, the more likely you are to win stuff at their raffles. You know, but it's also not going to be something that you're going to spend all day at.
Well, yeah, the thing is, like, the Oars Hamfest is only 5 hours. It goes from 8 to 1. Right. And, you know, your point is well taken that you can walk the whole thing and probably see everything you need to see in 30 minutes. But there's a surprising number of people who are there the whole day.
Right. Well, there's several people that come by our booth at least once and spend time, if sometimes 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. And spend a considerable bit of time at the booth talking to us. Sometimes it's just to shoot the breeze. Sometimes it's to ask questions. It doesn't really matter. And I notice that a lot of local hamfests are like 8 to noon, 8 to 2, 9 to 2, something like that. You know, and they've got 3 or 4, you know, talks that they give. And of course, you're doing one at the Oars Hamfest. But there's like 2 or 3 more that they're doing, plus testing. You know, I honestly think the biggest thing for smaller, you know, conferences, conventions, fests, whatever you want to call them, is the testing. I think that's the big thing. They want to get, you know, they want to get more people into the hobby. The thing with Hamvention is, you know, people come from all over the world to Hamvention. And so that's a bigger thing. That's like going to the Disney World of Hamfest versus going to the convenience store of Hamfest like a local Hamfest would be.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of looking forward to Oars this time because I'm giving a talk, obviously, and I've done that before at Oars, so that's not a big thing. It is at 11 o'clock in the morning, which is like perfect for me. It's exactly when I'll like actually be awake and not too late in the day that everybody will have already left. But they're also doing a POTA talk, and thanks to Howard, since I've been working my butt off on POTA lately, I would actually like to see what the local activators are doing. So I'm kind of looking forward to, you know, attending that talk as well. And of course, we'll have the booth set up and everything. So I think even more than Hamvention, for me personally, the Ors Hamfest, I will be maximizing my attendance. You know, we'll have the booth. I'll be giving a talk. I'll be going to a talk. You know, I'll be participating in the raffles, obviously interacting in the flea market and all that kind of stuff too. So I guess that's kind of like hitting all the bases. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I don't know that I have much to say. Oh, I did want to add one thing. It's going to be a little rude, but as far as maximizing enjoyment of a Hamfest or any kind of conference or convention that you might want to go to, I would highly recommend that everyone, attendees of all stripes, regardless if you're a vendor or just Joe Schmo walking around, focus on hygiene.
Yes, please.
There's something about, and this has been going on for as long as I've been going to conferences, and it doesn't matter what kind of conference it is, people think that if there are 3,000 people in a given place, they don't have to shower. Well, tell you what, yeah, you do. If you want any interaction with the people around you, you know, a little soap and water is all it takes, folks.
So. Yeah, we actually keep air freshener at the booth at Hamvention because sometimes it is really, really needed after somebody leaves. So,
yeah. So as far as maximizing your convention experience, you know, put that on the list as well for you and for everyone else. So, all right, that's all I've got to say about it. Anybody have anything else they want to add, whether from our listening audience or of the hosts?
Waiting for typers, but no typers.
We can wait all we want because truncate silence is a thing. Are we giving talks? I'm presuming you mean at Hamvention, and no, we are not.
One year we should.
Yeah, 1 year we definitely should. Maybe if we can hit Neil up and do a kind of thing, since he's already got some traction in that space. And maybe do something with him or after him or in conjunction with him or something like that. So we could do something at a hotel or whatever, might be useful.
Oh, like an after thing talk.
Yeah. An after thing.
Yeah. Like an after hours thing. You know, the thing is we've been next to a booth that had, microphones. You could do something during the day at our booth because they kind of did.
Oh, we've you know, thought about it. I mean, we used to have all the audio gear set up to be able to, you know, podcast or whatever or do
well, a session. No. I'm saying just have people kind of gather up in front of the doors and you stand there with your little clip-on microphone thing and, you know.
We've done that too. We did that 1 year that I can recall. And I remember when we went to OLF, we did that too. I still have, we had discussions with several of the people who went to Ohio Linux Fest and I think even Indiana Linux Fest. Where we talk to people who stop by the booth, and I still have a bunch of recordings. And one time at OLF, we did a thing where we had all like the movers and shakers in the Linux and open source community come by the booth. And if they came by the booth, we were like, can you record an opening for Linux in the Ham Shack or a promo? And I still get a bunch of those too.
Right.
So,
well, you also gave a talk at OLF too.
Yes, I did give.
That was one your very, very first talk.
Yeah. There's probably a recording of that talk somewhere. I think my audience was like four people, but right. I did give a talk, so
it was a little weird. Yeah. So,
Aaron says VK60K says a few drops of vanilla essence in your mask. Yeah, kind of. We have like a little atomizer, so we're like. We're creating that vanilla essence for you at the booth.
Purely to save our noses and our brains.
Yeah. Otherwise you'd be walking around like a corner with the, you know, stuff shoved up your nose.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not that bad. It really isn't, but
I would say probably 20% of the population at Hamvention does not know what a bar of soap is.
Well, I don't think it's that they never take a shower or anything like that. I think they just don't do it at conventions.
Or they just don't do it very often. You know, like once a week, yeah, once a month.
Plus it's so like hot and it's sweaty.
It is.
Know, people but are huffing all over the place and you know, we don't get that running around thing like they do, so.
Well,
does Linux in the Ham Shack, or not Linux in the Ham Shack, but this is like Bath and Body Works have little things where you can have like promo, you know, cologne.
Maybe. <give those away. laughs> Special Linux in the Ham Shack version of Cologne.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there you go. Would you like to try our sample?
Yeah, exactly. Now, you know, the thing is, yes, it does get hot at Hamvention, and it does get especially humid because it seems to rain at least one day, even for 5 minutes. But then the humidity goes up to 9,000%, so everybody is just kind of melting. But if you start the day out freshly bathed with some deodorant, goes a long way.
Yeah, all right, that's more than enough about
that. I know. So,
did get some chuckles in the peanut gallery, though, so I'm all right, I think that'll wind up our topic on maximizing your ham radio convention experience, and hopefully... I mean, it's kind of timely. You know, we'd love to see you all at Hamvention if we can. We know Darren won't be there. He'll be at Hamcamption or whatever that thing was. Yeah. Somewhere down around him where he's going to be spending time with 35 other hams in a loose affiliation of tents or something in Western Australia. So, but for the rest of you, make an attempt to be in Ohio. So
it's definitely the thing with Hamvention. Maybe you don't need to go every year, but it is definitely something you need to do at least once.
I absolutely agree.
Hera was probably, in my opinion, the best because it was just a dumpster fire.
Well, yeah, Hamvention and Hera was an experience unto itself.
Yeah. But Xenia is pretty cool too. So
it is, and since they got rid of the tent, it's much better. Because we went through that tent the first year, and yeah, that was like it's like wading through a swamp. And there were actually some of the vendors that I actually wanted to talk to over there, and it wasn't wheelchair accessible. It was muddy. It was just a
well, they had pallets for the vendors to stand on because it was so muddy. Yeah.
Yeah, but they've worked out the issues, and the venue in Xenia is actually quite nice. So, all right, with that, we're going to slip on into some hedonism, and we start that with food, because we're all human and we all have to eat. And Cheryl's going to talk about a recipe that I asked her to talk about, because this is something she made a few days ago, and I will be eating again as soon as the show is over. And it's really good, and it's really easy to prepare. And you should all go try it. If you like this sort of group of flavors, because I can imagine this is the kind of thing that not everybody's going to be into. But if this is the kind of thing you like, it's really good.
Yeah, no, it is definitely good. So tonight, Russ asked me to share my recipe for my mushroom ravioli with gorgonzola cream sauce. I served this for dinner last week. Russ fell in love with it and requested that I share this recipe. So here it is. It's one package, which is approximately 19 ounces, of Johnsonville Italian sausage links, 2 cups of heavy cream, salt and pepper, a heavy pinch of cayenne pepper. Actually, I probably didn't use enough, according to Russ. He said it wasn't very spicy. One package of Rana Family brand mushroom ravioli, or you could use whatever your favorite ravioli is. I suggest using either refrigerated or frozen, or homemade. That always works. 5 ounces of crumbled gorgonzola cheese, which is about the size package that they come in when you buy it off the shelf at your grocery store. 2 tablespoons of parsley and 1/2 cup of freshly grated Parmesan cheese, and some parsley to garnish it with. So cook your sausage in a skillet, and there's some further details I'll let you read if you want to try the recipe out. Then, you know, add your cream and everything to the skillet. Add your cheeses, cook your pasta, mix it all together, and serve with a nice thick chunk of garlic bread. And that is one heck of a meal. So,
yep, looking forward to diving into it again, and maybe with the thing you're about to mention.
Alrighty then. Are you going to make one for me too?
If I make one, I'll make one for both of us, yes.
Alright, good deal. So my mixed drink corner is for a Bellini. This recipe is super easy, and I'm a huge fan of Bellinis. This is great for summertime or something sweet after a nice Italian meal. You need 1 bottle of Prosecco, 3 cups of frozen peaches, sliced peaches, 1/2 cup of peach juice or nectar if you want to use it, and some fresh sliced peaches for garnishing. And if you don't want to use Prosecco, any sparkling wine or champagne is perfectly fine to use for this. But you mix everything together and toss it in your blender, and then dump it into your glasses and garnish with your peach slices.
Okay, I didn't read ahead and see that it actually required blending and fruit and all that crap. So no, we're not having those.
I'm pretty sure we have all the fruit we need.
I'm pretty sure we have all the stuff. We just don't have, we're lacking my motivation. So
I see. All right, whatever.
But definitely something to try, especially if when the weather starts getting a little bit warmer. Bellinis are a great warm weather, you know, outside sipping on, you know, watching the sunset kind of drink. So
yeah, they're very refreshing. So
yep, absolutely. All right, well, I'm going to try and blaze through my bourbon for tonight. Now, there was some talk and show and tell on Discord, if you're a member of our Discord. If you're not, you should definitely become a member of our Discord. But I ordered this from an online retailer, and when it arrived, the bottle was shattered in a really strange kind of way. It was broken, and it was clearly broken, but it was leaking so slowly that you needed to like have it on a plate with a paper towel. And if you left it for 2 days, you could see a little bit of moisture. So I'd never seen a bottle broken in this way before. But anyway, I got back with them and said, hey, you know, you shipped me this bottle. It was broken. They shipped me a new one, which was great. So then what I did was I took the one that was broken. I poured it through 5 coffee filters into another bottle. And that's what I'm drinking tonight. So far, no hints of glass. So excellent. But what I'm drinking is 13th Colony Southern Bourbon. And from their website, okay, it didn't take my thing. I gotta get the thing because it reverted to the other thing. So it's only a small blur, but here's what it says. This is from the 13th Colony website. 13th Colony Southern Bourbon is recognized by winning multiple double gold awards. It boasts of a smooth, well-rounded flavor with a slightly sweet finish. Bottled at 95 proof, this unique bottle is a perfect daily sipper, and the whiskey that is in it is aged between 4 and 6 years. Now, this is going to be kind of interesting because the mash bill on this is 70% corn, 21% rye, and 9% malted barley, which is the exact same mash bill as the Blue Note whiskey that I reviewed last time, which smacks of it being MGP. So, because 70-21-9 is definitely the kind of mash bill MGP would produce, which means it's probably the same whiskey. So, of course, what's different about it is what they did to it. Now, the Blue Note was at much higher proof. This is at 95 or 47.5% ABV. It comes out of Americus, Georgia. So it's a Georgia bourbon. And I don't think I've had any Georgia bourbons before this one. The color on it is golden amber. The nose is corn, honey, creme brulee, vanilla, and salted butterscotch, which I got to tell you is quite pleasant. The taste on it is quite pleasant, too. You get a little bit of the ute of the 4 to 6 year bourbon. I think you put 2 more years of barrel aging into this and it would be a mighty fine bourbon. But this is actually really good. The taste profile on it is sweet corn, leather, cinnamon, tobacco, and hints of cherry. And the finish on it, I had salted caramel in my list here. Let me take another sip just to see if I can pull anything else out of it. Yeah, some of that leather character is still in there. The tobacco is kind of in there too as it dries out. And there's even a little hint of maybe chocolate, like milk chocolate, in there as well too. The finish is pretty short, but it's quite good. I had this the other night for the first time after filtering out, hopefully, any glass that might be in it. Best part about that, of course, is I actually got 2 of these bottles for the price of 1. So, except there was a little bit of angel share because it did leak just a tiny bit. But it's actually quite good, and it's really interesting that the last bourbon, the Blue Note, and this one, having the same mash bill, but of course being aged differently, proofed differently, stuff like that, have very different characters. This one sells for about $45, which is a lot less than the other one, but of course the other one was a lot higher proof. But I rated the other one pretty low. I don't remember what I rated it, but it was like 83, maybe? I don't remember. I don't keep track of this stuff. Somewhere in the back of my head. But I would give this one an 89. It's much better, even though it's like the presumably the same product, just worked over differently. And for the price point, I would prefer this. And I'm glad that I have 2 bottles of it because it means I can drink twice as much. So
nice.
But anyway, that's 13th Colony Southern Bourbon. I'm enjoying it. An 89 is a pretty good rating, especially for a $45 and under, you know, bottle of whiskey. And at 95 proof, it's not, they didn't cheap out on it either. So highly recommended. All right, Bill, what do you got going?
I just got a beer here. I happen to have a can from my favorite establishment here in town. And it's Mountains Walking Brewing out of Bozeman, Montana. And this is their experimental series, Opaque Thoughts. It's an IPA, so you probably would hate it. it's 7.5% alcohol. And it's not very bitter. But it definitely has a lot of nice IPA notes. You know, got a lot of the citrus taste and everything else. On the side of the can, it says, I have no idea what all this means, but this might mean something to somebody. It says Beyond Dank, Nelson Sauvin. So I have no idea what that is. Idaho 7, Strata, Liquid Chinook, Brewgas Terpene. So maybe these are ingredients.
I think those are the kinds of hops. I think those are
okay.
Hops.
Those are hops. Okay, so it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, whatever, five types of hops in there. So it's definitely hoppy, but not on the high bitter scale. I think it's a nice, easy drinking IPA, and looks like, you know, being their experimental series, is probably just a limited run, so probably won't be able to find this again, at least not for another season or so.
All right, very good. Yes, I am not a fan of the IPAs. I have had one or two that I can recall that I didn't want to throw up after drinking them. But generally speaking, yeah, not my kind of thing. So, another topic coming up on the random topic wheel, since we're giving out hints, is the best beer.
Duh. So,
yep, I'm sure we're all looking forward to that one. But anyway, that brings us down to the end of our topics for tonight. So we got to jump on to announcements and feedback. We didn't have any feedback. We did have some announcements, though, or an announcement, which is that the Linux in the Ham Shack Hamvention 2024 GoFundMe is live. We're already getting close to a third of the way to the goal. So thank you to everybody who's donated so far. But if you have, you know, a couple extra bucks in your pocket or whatever, and you can throw them our way, it would really help us out getting to Hamvention again here in 2024. It's coming up in, you know, 3 months, only 3 months till Hamvention. So we do have about, I think it's $350 to go. So if you can help us out, we'd really appreciate it. The link is lhs.fyi/HV2024. And with that, I'm sure we'll see everybody at Hamvention. We're looking forward to it. Our goal is only $500, so should be pretty easy to meet. We really thank all of our listeners and everybody else who contributes. It helps us get there every year. And we've been doing it since 2010, so with a couple of gaps in there in the middle. But all right, that's all I've got. So now we're down to subscribers, supporters, and live participants. So we'll bring Cheryl in here to wrap things up.
All righty then. So for our subscribers and Patreons, we had Rodney Underkoffler. Well, we didn't have anybody on Facebook or Twitter. On Instagram, wow. We had Ivan Victi509. On Mastodon, we had at VK2TTY, at Thundar, at Waltman, at DO1MJ, at W1PAC, at Loic_Fijaz, yeah, something like that, at AE4WX, and at PG4I. Nobody joined us on the mailing list. On Discord, we had Trite, Y05LNX, which is Lori, Mark, and Vonnegut520. And in the live chat tonight, we have Tom. Does that look like a
five to you?
Yeah, is it an S or something?
Four.
It's a four.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I thought you were talking about Lori. I was like, no, that really looks like a five to me. Sorry. Vonnegut420, sorry. And on our live chat tonight, we had NA4HAI, Tom, Ted, WA0EIR, Steve, KA7HVT, Winston, KD2WLL, Darren, VK6EK, and Paul, KE5WMA.
I think you're experiencing a little Vonnegut 420.
Maybe. Something. Yeah. Obviously, my eyes are staring at the Lori thing, and, you know, I don't know. I tend to breed ahead of myself or something.
Blow up the font a little more.
No, it's already at 250%. So. I don't have my glasses on, so.
You're 250% on a 32-inch monitor. My goodness, yeah.
Yeah.
No wonder you can only see four characters at a time.
Oh no, I can see a lot more than that because it wraps it around. So,
All right. Well, anyway, that brings us down to the bottom of the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We hope you had a good time with our Weekender tonight. We hope you'll join us for the deep dive next week. And please donate to the Hamvention campaign if you can. If you can't, or even if you can, please go ahead and mention it to everybody you know. The more people that hear about it, the faster we'll reach our goal. And, of course, we're looking forward to seeing everybody at Hamvention. So we'll let you get back to whatever you were doing before you started listening to us, and we really hope you have a great week, and we'll talk to y'all very, very soon. This has been episode number 533, the 113th edition of the Weekender. We'll catch you all next time. I'm Russ, K5TUX.
I'm Cheryl, W5MOO.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD73.